Long days after they had left Rivendell, they were still going up and up and up. It was a hard, dangerous path, and it was getting bitterly cold. Even the good plans of wise wizards go astray sometimes when you are off on dangerous adventures, and Gandalf was a wise enough wizard to know it. He hardly dared to hope that they would pass without fearful adventure over those great tall mountains with lonely peaks and valleys where no king ruled. They did not. All was well until one day they met a thunderstorm. More than a thunderstorm, a thunder battle. Bilbo had never seen or imagined anything of the kind. They were high up in a narrow place, with a dreadful fall into a dim valley at one side of them. There they were, sheltering under a hanging rock for the night, and he lay beneath a blanket and shook from head to toe. When he peeped out in the lightning flashes, he saw that across the valley the stone giants were out, and were hurling rocks at one another for a game, and catching them and tossing them down into the darkness where they smashed among the trees far below, or splintered into little bits with a bang. Then came the wind and rain and hail, and the overhanging rock was no protection at all.
"This won't do," said Thorin. "If we don't get blown off, or drowned, or struck by lightning, then we shall be picked up by some giant and kicked sky high for a football."
"Well, if you know anywhere better, take us there," said Gandalf, who was feeling very grumpy, and was far from happy about the giants himself.
So he sent Feely and Keely to look for a better shelter. Soon they came crawling back, holding on to the rocks in the wind.
"We have found a dry cave," they said, "not far round the next corner."
"Have you thoroughly explored it?" said the wizard, who knew that caves up in the mountains were seldom unoccupied.
"Yes, yes," they said. "It isn't all that big, and it does not seem to go far back."
That, of course, is the dangerous part about caves. You don't know how far they go back sometimes, or where a passage may lead to, or what is waiting for you inside. As they passed under the arch, it was good to hear the wind and the rain outside instead of all about them, and to feel safe from the giants and their rocks. It seemed quite a fair size, not too large and mysterious. It had a dry floor and some comfortable nooks. Bilbo could not go to sleep for a long while, and when he did, he had very nasty dreams. He dreamt that a crack in the wall at the back of the cave got bigger and bigger and opened wider and wider. He woke up with a horrible start and found that part of his dream was true. A crack had opened at the back of the cave and was already a wide passage. He gave a very loud yell, as loud a yell as a hobbit can give, which is surprising for their size. Out jumped the goblins, huge goblins. There were six to each dwarf at least, and two even for Bilbo, and they were all grabbed and carried through the crack. But not Gandalf. Bilbo's yell had done that much good. It had wakened him up wide in a splintering second, and when goblins came to grab him, there was a terrific flash like lightning in the cave, a smell like gunpowder, and several of them fell dead. The crack closed with a snap, and Bilbo and the dwarves were on the wrong side of it. The goblins were very rough and pinched unmercifully and chuckled and laughed and sang in their horrible stony voices as they carried off their prisoners.
Clap, snap, the black, crack, grip, grab, pinch, nab, and down, down to Goblin Town. You go, my lad. Clash, crash, crush, smash, hammer and tongs, knocker and gongs, pound, pound, far underground. Ho, ho, my lad. Swish, smack, whip, crack, batter and beat, yammer and bleat. Work, work, not dare to shirk, while goblins quaff and goblins laugh. Round and round, far underground, below, my lad.
What that meant was only too plain. Out came their whips, and the goblins lashed them with a swish, smack, and set them running as fast as they could in front of them. With their hands linked and chained behind their backs, they were dragged to the far end of the cavern, with little Bilbo tugging at the end of the line. There in the shadows, on a large flat stone, sat a tremendous goblin with a huge head, and armed goblins were standing round him carrying the axes and the bent swords that they use. Now, goblins are cruel and evil. They hated everybody and everything.
but they had a special grudge against Thorin's people.
"Who are these miserable persons?"
said the great goblin.
"Dwarves. And this," said one of the drivers, pulling at Bilbo's chain so that he fell forward onto his knees. "We found them sheltering in our front porch."
"What do you mean by it?"
said the great goblin, turning to Thorin.
"Murderers and friends of elves. What have you got to say?"
"Thorin the dwarf, at your service," he replied. "We sheltered from a storm in what seemed a convenient cave. Nothing was further from our thoughts than inconveniencing goblins in any way whatsoever."
Said the great goblin. "So you say. What are you doing in the mountains? Where are you going to? Thorin Oakenshield, I know too much about your folk already. Let's have the truth, or I will prepare something particularly uncomfortable for you."
"We are on a journey to visit our relatives, who live on the east side of these truly hospitable mountains," said Thorin.
"He is a liar, a tremendous one," said one of the drivers. "Several of our people were struck by lightning in the cave. They are as dead as stones. Also, he has not explained this."
He held out the sword which Thorin had worn, the sword which came from the troll's lair. The great goblin gave a truly awful howl of rage when he looked at it, and all his soldiers gnashed their teeth, clashed their shields, and stamped.
"Murderers and elf friends," the great goblin shouted, "slash them, beat them, gnash them. Take them away to dark halls full of snakes, and never let them see the light again." With a scream, he rushed at Thorin.
Just at that moment, all the lights in the cavern went out, and the great fire went off, poof, into a tower of blue glowing smoke, right up to the roof, scattering piercing white sparks all among the goblins. Oh, the yells and yammering, croaking, gibbering and jabbering, howls, growls and curses, shrieking and skriking that followed. Suddenly, a sword flashed in its own light. Bilbo saw it go right through the great goblin. He fell dead, and the goblin soldiers fled before the sword, shrieking into the darkness.
"Follow me, quick," said a voice, fierce and quiet.
Before they understood what was happening, they were trotting along again with Bilbo at the end of the line. A pale light was leading them on.
"Quicker, quicker," said the voice. "The torches will soon be relit."
Then Gandalf lit up his wand. Of course it was Gandalf. But just then they were too busy to ask how he got there. He took out his sword again, and again it flashed in the dark by itself. It burned with a rage that made it gleam if goblins were about. Now it was as bright as blue flame for delight in the killing of the great lord of the cave. It made no trouble whatever of cutting through the goblin chains and setting all the prisoners free as quickly as possible.
"Are we all here?" said he. "Let me see. Yes, yes, yes. But where's Mr. Baggins?" "Ah, here's Mr. Baggins. 14. Well, well, it might be worse, and then again it might be a good deal better. No ponies and no food, and no knowing quite where we are, and hordes of angry goblins just behind. On we go."
Soon they could hear even the flap of the goblin feet, many, many feet, which seemed only just round the last corner. The blink of red torches could be seen behind them in the tunnel. Gandalf fell behind, and Thorin with him. They turned a sharp corner.
"About turn," he shouted. "Draw your sword, Thorin."
There was nothing else to be done, and the goblins did not like it. They came scurrying round the corner in full cry, and found goblin cleaver and foe hammer shining cold and bright in their astonished eyes. The ones in front dropped their torches and gave one yell before they were killed. The ones behind yelled still more and leapt back, knocking over those that were running after them.
"Biter and beater," they shrieked, running for their lives.
On went the dwarves again, a long way on, but the goblins put out their torches and slipped on soft shoes, and their fastest runners with the sharpest ears and eyes ran forward, swift as weasels in the dark, and with hardly any more noise than bats. Quite suddenly, Dory, now at the back again carrying Bilbo, was grabbed from behind in the dark. He shouted and fell, and the hobbit rolled off his shoulders into the blackness, bumped his head on hard rock, and remembered nothing more.